Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I thought that we might cover just three topics today. How about a bit of cricket, a bit on the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, and then a fantastic review of the BL&G footy from fantastic Phil himself. How's that sound?
Well, there we go. Can't wait.
Well, I can't wait either. But I think we'd be very negligent not to talk briefly about the cricket and, seemingly the end result of it. I would think that James Sutherland, the CEO of Cricket Australia, would have had his first reasonable night's sleep in a long time last night after David Warner decided that he'd accept the ban, along with, of course, Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft, who'd already decided the same way. But to be honest, I'm not sure that's all there's going to be. The ACA are pushing for a deep and meaningful inquiry into the whole performance of Cricket Australia, and I think that's well and truly overdue. And that might bring a few skeletons out of the closet, I reckon.
Well, it's been an attitude thing for a long time, hasn't it, Rick, really? The whole cricket thing, I mean, attitude hasn't been good. And I was surprised Warner was the one that surprised me that accepted his suspension. I thought he'd be the one that'd stick his heels in and have a, you know, fair dinkum kick up at it.
Yes, but, I think most people did. And I think, and I think Cricket Australia in particular were very concerned about what might come out if he decided to go down that path. Now, it's impossible for us to know on the outside what negotiations have taken place, but he's the one bloke who I thought might blow the whistle. He's obviously choosing not to do it, but nevertheless, what you said earlier, that the whole tone of cricket and the performance in terms of sledging, tampering, whatever, just the whole general attitude of Cricket Australia or the cricket team under the auspices of Sutherland in particular has been going downhill for a long time.
I mean, the general public, and we're just totally sick of this suspension thing now. I mean, I'm not, you know, the biggest cricket fan. I enjoy it, but, you know, totally fed up with the whole thing now. Let's let it water under the bridge and let's get on with it and clean it out and ready for the next test series.
Yes, and I think as much as Cricket Australia have got questions to answer, I think the ICC have got huge questions to answer because, as I think we've mentioned a couple of times in different shows, the rules are actually there to stop ball tampering and to stop sledging, but they're there in black and white in the rules, 41 and 42, I think, off the top of my head. I'm not sure, it doesn't matter. But they're not. The ICC has not requested that the umpires enforce them to the degree that they should be. Right. And so it's tarnished the whole aspect of the game. You know, the once supposedly gentleman's game probably went out the window when coloured cricket and packer came into foe and money became very important. And, of course, you know, from going from the days of getting $50 for 4 days of cricket to what they're getting now, obviously at $50 for 4 days, something had to happen. But money is the creator of many evils, as it were.
That's what you were getting. They paid you for what you were worth, though, Rick. Sorry about that. That's boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom's right, yeah. So before we... I hear a rumour that you've been getting yourself deeply involved in the Commonwealth Games, but I thought we might run with our cricket joke just before that so we get it over with. The umpire asked the bowler, "Are you going to bowl over or around the wicket, son?" And he replied, "My dad told me to bowl out the bloody wicket."
Fair comment too, that one. Yeah. No, I mind that one.
You like it. Now, Gold Coast Commonwealth Games.
That's why I was running late here today, Rick. Couldn't tear myself away. The women's weightlifting.
Well, that would have been magic, I would have thought.
Well, no, I don't mind it.
Is that right?
No, it was quite entertaining. There was a bit of badminton on.
Really?
I don't mind it. And the swimming, we got Cole Chambers. He's in the final.
Well, so is he swimming against you? Or?
Could be. I'm unavailable back this week, Rick, as you know. So I've been off work.
Well, you'd probably still get a bronze medal with a crook back.
Well, I probably would. That's the sort of athlete I am.
Well, to be honest, I'm not a great fan. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you're enjoying it, but to me, and I am not trying to belittle any individual at all in what I'm about to say, but to me, it's a second-tier competition. You've got, which I think you admitted to off-air when you were watching the opening ceremony with your daughter, you've got countries there that you have never, ever heard of or can't pronounce their names, correct?
I thought it was just me.
And, you know, you've got a handful of countries at the top of the sporting tree, you know, powerhouses like England and Australia and Canada. But after that, the drop-off in standard is incredible. And I guess my – I'll use an example that and, of course, it doesn't apply to all sports, but the fact that if you win a bronze medal in any sport, it's the same or equivalent whether it's a hard-won competition or not. Now, there's a story going around that this – Taylor Robertson from Australia is going to be guaranteed of at least a bronze medal in the women's 51 kilogram boxing because there are only seven contestants.
Right, I'm just writing that down because I'm going to be the eighth.
Seven contestants. Right, so they did a draw. She got a bye in the first round. Oh. So she automatically goes to the semis, and evidently, even if you lose your semi, both losers of the semi-finals get a bronze medal.
That's the way I'd get a medal.
Now, I'm sorry, but if that's the standard of the Commonwealth Games, then I'm not too excited about it.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. It's not the pinnacle of the medals, is it? Like when you win a gold medal, if you win a gold medal at the Olympic Games, that is the best. You are the best in the world.
Yep.
You're only the best in the Commonwealth.
That's right.
So that's the difference, yep. Isn't it? So.
And really, it's great, I suppose, that a lot of these, you know, lesser countries, as it were, in terms of what we know about them or where they even come from, their competitors get a chance to compete in the Games. And it's lovely to see people of any standard getting over the line, whatever sport it is. But I think it lessens the value of that gold medal or bronze or silver if you really, you almost only got to turn up to get one of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't got America there and let's say Russia and some of those big countries that, I mean, I watched the opening ceremony, some have only got 50 or 60 competitors. I mean, we've got this long, I don't know how many it was, a heap of, anyhow, the Australians, I mean, we've got to win a heap of medals, surely, because we've got twice as many competitors.
Exactly. The other thing that worries me is that, and it comes around every time that Commonwealth Games is on, there's people in South Australia saying, oh, we should put our hands up and apply for the 2030 Games or whatever it might be. And I think given that they are a second-tier competition, it worries me that already the headlines in the some of the media papers are, you know, a play on the words from the Queensland advertisements. It's on, so where the bloody hell are you? Meaning that there's thousands of tickets not sold. Yep. Businesses who were banking on big turnover, it's not there. And to be honest, I think it's because A, it's a second-tier competition, and B, unlike perhaps the 50s or 60s, there are so many other sporting and music, entertainment events on that people choose to go to, well, they can only afford to go to a certain number, and it would seem as if the Commonwealth Games aren't one of them for lots of people.
Yeah, and the cost of setting the thing up must be phenomenal.
Well, even the Olympic Games, from what I understand, there's hardly a country that's held the 15 Olympic Games that's come out in front.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to set it up, they're building stadiums and things like that. And you know, anyway, enough of that. We've got the local footy starting this week, Rick.
Well, we have, Phil, and I'm looking forward to, because you're the expert. There's no question about that. 600 game
and no
umpire.
More. That's it.
And I know, but that means you can look at this from a a clean sheet, unbiased.
And not even going. Not even going this week.
Well, that worries me. Obviously, only because you haven't got a free ticket.
But. No, I've got tickets to Port, so I'm going to watch them. So
anyway, listen,
I'll just quickly run through some of the sides here, Rick, and I'd like your input. Yes. I'll just start at Gawler Centrals. Looks like they've lost more good players than they've gained. Charlie Monaghan, obviously, Sean Brading and Hilly, all gone.
Huge loss.
I can see them dropping down the list a bit. Freeling lost three quality players to Lobethal. Lobethal, obviously, in the money over there this year. And young boxer who played for the Crows, he's gone to Golden Grove this year,
Right.
So, that's
a big loss. He was a good player.
I think they might. Looks like they've got a couple of good ins, but I think they might just drop out of that. They made the finals last year. I think they might just drop out of that. Angaston, I reckon I can see them a slight improvement. Well, they finished bottom last year, so they can't go any worse, can they?
And they won the twos, though, didn't they?
Won the twos, but not much depth. I mean, as we've discussed before, playing B grade, you can be a good B grade and you'll never play much A grade, or you'll only be very average.
Yep.
But they've got Blink Iron Peck, and Harvey, ex-male medalist, coming back from Victoria, work commitments he had over there for the last couple of years.
Well, that'll help them a bit.
I think they'll improve a little bit. Barossa, obviously up. There's no outs. They've lost no one. And in comes, I'll just name a couple, Stelzer and Taylor, two quality players. So, I can see them top two.
Well, I can't imagine they won't be top two. I mean, I know a grand final is actually won on the day, and so there's only two. It's a two-horse race, and you start there. But, you'd have to put them in for the grand final already, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I'll get to Tanunda in a minute. But Kapunda, they've got some good ins. More amateur league players type thing. No ex-leagueys. But they have lost the Hockings, and Dominic Constanzo gone to Torrens Valley, who tend to throw quite a nice sum of money around, and Eddie Hocking coaching Torrens Valley over there in the Hills League.
Yeah, he's dragged a few of them, hasn't he?
Yep, took his sons with. Looks like Newry, I reckon, Kapunda, I'll quickly say, I think Kapunda will stay about the same. I think, or maybe just drop off. I don't think they won't make the grand final, obviously. Might just squeeze into the finals.
Yep.
Newry, I can see them improving. They've got the Bentley brothers from town. Don't know much about them. Baldwin, he's come back from, he had a massive shoulder operation last year. He was down, went back to Centrals for that and done his shoulder, and real quality player. And Brod Hopner, he went over to Virginia for a year. Local lad, so he's come back, so I can see them improving.
Well, I was quite impressed. It was funny because obviously they didn't go anywhere last year, but luck of the draw, I saw them quite often, and they lost games that they really shouldn't have, you know?
Yeah, they lost one late there to Williston, and Williston was struggling last year, as we know, and they needed to win that to make the final, and they lost it comfortably.
Yeah, and I think that now that you've mentioned those ins, I reckon I'd almost pencil them in for the four, actually.
Yeah, I reckon they'll play finals this year. The quality loss, though, is Ribbo, Ribbons. He was ex-Crow added player. He's gone, and big Craig Satford, he's gone to Riverton. So a big ruckman. Ribbo's from town, but Craig Satford, he lives in Newry, but he's obviously chasing a quid out there. So I'll quickly run on to South Gawler. Looks like there's not much in for South, and lost a couple with retirement, Bevo and a couple others there. I think they'll stay about the same, just that mediocre middle of the range.
Middle
of the pack. Tanunda's probably the one that's gets you a bit excited. Turlich, he's played AFL for two clubs, Sydney and Melbourne.
Can I just interrupt? You're a Tanunda boy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. No, ex.
Tanunda boy.
Yeah. AFL experience, only 26 or 27. They really like him there at Tanunda, his coaching methods. Pryor, Hammond and McFarlane from Glenelg, apparently setting the track on fire too. So, Pryor and Hammond, they came back from Centrals. Both Pryor's played about 50-odd league games.
Right.
Darcy, he didn't play any league footy, but played all his junior and played reserves last year.
I saw a fair bit of Tanunda last year, and I thought with the list they had, they were a bit disappointing. They should have performed better.
Yeah, I reckon should have probably played finals last year, but probably just a couple of players short, yes. And perhaps that's what they've picked up. And they've kept Gordon, the big full forward. He kicked a lot of goals last year. Yeah. Tommy Schiller coming back from a year off. Yeah. He's a quality on-baller. And Aaron Fechner from Blackfriars. So it'll just strengthen their numbers.
Well, you'd say that they should romp into the four, and I would actually, at this point, pencil them in as the grand finalist against
top two.
Barossa, I reckon. Yep,
Tanunda, as I said a couple of weeks ago, Tanunda and Barossa grand final, I think. And Williston, well, they've obviously lost Joshie Glenn and their big ruckman to a bit of a discrepancy in the Gawler Street the other night. They've sacked them and they've walked away. So, but in comes Josh Waldhuda, who's a quality player, local lad, played 50 or 60 league games for Centrals in their real good era.
Yes.
He had a bit of strength, and they picked up a couple other names that don't mean much to me, but obviously, they'll be around the mark too, I think, again. Yes. So.
Yeah. I mean, my comments about Williston were that they seem to lack a lot of methodology last year. You know, they got the ball, and when they got it into their forward zone, it was almost just kick at the goal, you know, old-fashioned stuff, rather than creating space and so forth. And maybe with better, you know, a few recruited, that might change. But I'd say they'd be middle of the pack at the best.
Yeah, I think, they're with Souths and Central. Yeah. Freeling, I think, will be that middle of the pack. Angaston's probably. And I think the standouts this year will be, I'm looking at Newry, Tanunda, and obviously Barossa, the three real standout clubs, I think, this year. So,
well, there you are. You've heard it from Fantastic Phil, the tipping, and I would say you'd be right on the money there.
Well, we'll see how we go. Not often I'm right.
Oh, no, you're selling yourself short there. There's no question about that. Well, I reckon that's about it for the day.
Yeah,
that's been good.
I
hope your predictions are correct. And you keep enjoying those Commonwealth Games.
Will do.
All right, until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.